This video is brought to you by Holocasa. Our tool transforms independent local real estate agents to global real estate agents. Create your own profile for free and get contacted by international investors. Sign up with the link in the description. Hello and welcome everyone to our 115th session of Holocasa. My name is Michael and today I'm talking to David Dipong from Los Angeles, California. David is the owner of Dipong Real Estate and handles both commercial and residential transactions. David, you're the first person from Los Angeles in California. I'm really excited to have you on the show. Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
I'm excited to be here, Michael. So I work in Los Angeles and Orange County, two of the primarily coastal counties of Southern California. As you may expect, we have pretty good weather year-round. And because of that, we're a little bit more expensive than you might see the average state in America. We have a lot of business, a lot of tech, a lot of movie, and a lot of bigger companies like Apple, HBO, people with offices here. The international airport makes it easy to go back and forth between New York, and there tends to be half of what we need in homes built every year. So every year the demand keeps going up, which lends itself to the overall large amount of appreciation our properties see every decade.
Great. Give us an overview of Los Angeles, just from a geographical point of view.
So Los Angeles is sort of a loaded term. There is a primary Los Angeles and a downtown Los Angeles, but because it's historically never had any public transportation, Los Angeles is a very wide area. So you could be one city over from Santa Monica, which is close to the ocean, Malibu, which is close to the ocean, and technically you're in Los Angeles. You could also be an hour and a half, 2 hours east in Pasadena or Whittier, and you're also right next to Los Angeles. So basically, it's a city where you need to have a car, and it stretches down the entire coast, basically from Malibu to about Huntington Beach, where it turns into Orange County and goes all the way down to the San Diego area.
Perfect.
So it's a large amount of real estate that we cover here.
And you mentioned in the beginning you are from Orange County, or prior to our call, you are basically in Orange County, correct?
So I'm living in Santa Monica. I have family and another property in Newport Beach, which is a similar city in Orange County. And because of that, I have an office in each city, so I can work and live wherever I need to service my clients.
I understand. Regarding now trying to understand along this vast area of Los Angeles, which you very well right now explained to us, can you basically give us a sort of a feeling of the dynamics regarding, is there a certain area which is more higher on demand or also on inventory regarding commercial? Is there an area which is definitely something where you want to move when you have two kids and a rising family, maybe even more kids? Is there something you would like to move to when you are single and you are workaholic and or not? Can you give us maybe like sort of a feeling of how to segment a city?
Absolutely. So Los Angeles is very almost segregated based on what your needs. If you have a family and you want good schools, you're either in Sherman Oaks or you're in Santa Monica, Culver City, one of the west side closest to the ocean cities. They tend to have the best local schools and public schools, whereas there's a lot of great private schools, but then you end up paying more for the school and less for the home. So if you're starting a family, you're going to want to be in one of the west side cities that has a little bit more money to contribute to their school system. Or if you're single and you're looking for just to work and have a good time, you're typically more in your Venice, California, your Hollywood, your downtown Los Angeles arts district, your North Hollywood, these cities that are developing right now that may not be as nice and may not have as nice of local amenities for you. But there's builders building businesses, there's people coming in building new experiences, there's a lot of nightlife and activity that you want to be a part of.
Makes total sense. You just mentioned also a certain keyword regarding up and coming, or which is also or an area which has still potential to grow. Can you give us an idea of if I, for example, want to invest somewhere in Los Angeles, do you have any insider tips, which after this interview are not going to be insider tips anymore, but some maybe some tips regarding yeah, if you have if you really want to invest, if you want, really want to buy something regarding return on investment in Los Angeles in residential, is there something where you think there definitely has some potential?
Absolutely. So in Los Angeles, over the past few decades, there's been several increases in transportation and increases in business. And just like in Venice, we saw a lot of tech companies come in, and then we saw the property skyrocket. So right now we're seeing there's a city called Inglewood where they built a new multi-billion dollar stadium complex, casino, restaurant area, and they're connecting it to the Crenshaw line, which is this light rail expo line that will connect people from LAX, which is an international airport, to the Expo line, which connects people to downtown in Santa Monica. So over the next 10 years, as these projects, which were delayed by COVID, end up being finished and really fleshed out, these areas, because they have development and commercial and transportation, are going to see the next three blocks around them immediately increase in value at a higher percentage rate than just a nicer neighborhood or a coastal neighborhood would, because those neighborhoods are good. They have most of the development they're ever going to have already, and they're not as aggressive. They're not getting aggressively better every year. They're not improving. They're not being gentrified. Homes aren't being remodeled at quite the same pace that they are in these de quickly developing neighborhoods. So we have places like Inglewood or North Hollywood where a lot of development has gone in recently. And now the cities around that are going up in value purely because the value is increasing so quickly there. So now people go to the next city closest that they can possibly afford. And then when that city gets too expensive, they'll go to the next city closest so that they can be within 20 minutes or 30 minutes of the nice city without having to pay the prices that you need to pay to live there.
Makes total sense. Is there any certain reason why more and more tech companies are moving to LA? Is there a tax reason or something which maybe has an advantage over San Francisco?
No, I think that primarily it's just as nice of an area, but the costs were less expensive than San Francisco. So because of this new remote work age, you're finding more and more tech companies have offices here that are smaller, much smaller than they used to. And then they live in the surrounding neighborhoods that maybe they go into the office once a week, so they'll buy a home within an hour of the office, so that they can live and work in Calabasas or West Hollywood or El Segundo or some city that's close to LA that has the prices and the nice houses that they want for what they can afford without having to be exactly in the city. I think San Francisco just unfortunately went up too far too fast. And now with the people needing less commercial space, Los Angeles is a nice alternative.
Makes total sense. And you just mentioned like a couple of times the nice quality of life. I used to work for someone, he was from LA, and he always said, it's a city where you can go the same day skiing and surfing, and you have everything. You have beautiful nature, you have a total cosmopolitan city, you have very international society with great food places. Can you confirm this? Can what is your
Yes,
basically sales pitch of Los Angeles?
so because LA is so spread out, every city has to have its own downtown area. So every 30 minutes, you get to a new city with a new downtown area that has great restaurants, is less than 20 or 30 minutes away from great hiking trails, is less than 20 or 30 minutes away from the ocean, the beach. And then, yes, you could drive a few hours and be in Big Bear and then go skiing. Like you can do everything in a day. It'd be a pretty busy day. But because this place is so spread out, Like I live in my neighborhood of Santa Monica, just for example. If I walk north 5 minutes, I'm in the biggest houses, suburban neighborhood, single family homes. I pass a luxury street of shops. Or if I walk south, there's huge outdoor malls for the family, for the kids, for tourists. There's a downtown area. Or if I go a little bit east, there's another city that has a farmers market every week. So in any given day, I could be at a farmers market within 15 minutes of my house, which just lends itself to mental health. Like you're outside, you're enjoying yourself, you're getting food, you're walking your dog. It's a vibe that the sunshine in the neighborhood gives you, as opposed to maybe living in a city which might be dark or shades of gray most of your year. Well, that can start to affect your mental health.
Absolutely. I love that point, and I appreciate that you express it like that. Perfect. Is there any way for you to give us an overview on residential prices in terms of maybe first rental prices? What do I have to expect if I decide to move, or if my employer asks me to move as maybe a single, so studio apartment in a neighborhood which you would like to, which you think like is definitely attractive, and then maybe also for a family.
Okay, so if we purely talk about the west side of Los Angeles, very attractive neighborhood for most singles and younger parents. For a single, you're looking at 2 to 3,000, depending on which city you're in. For a double, depending on how far inland you go, that number could be 2,500 to 4,500. For a 3 bedroom, that number could be 3,000 to 6,000, depending on which neighborhood. It varies pretty wildly, and it's the same for purchasing. So you pretty much can't get much of anything for less than even a condo in most of Los Angeles for less than 500,000. And luxury really starts above the 3 million price point. So depending on which city you go to, the lowest price to enter that city, the minimum budget, will be anywhere between 6 and 3 million, depending on what you need. So you could buy a teardown in some cities for 2 million, or you could buy a brand new 3, 4 bedroom home in other cities nearby for that same 2 million.
Makes sense. Okay. Down payment then, and also right now starting with the transaction itself, down payment I would have to have then 20%. So I would have to have like 400K on down payment. Is that
So we actually have there's programs at 3, 3.5, 5% down, all the way up to a purchase price of 1.1 million. So that's only 30 to 50K. Or if you want to do something that's above in the jumbo sector, typically you have to have 10 to 20% down. So if you're looking at properties closer to like 1.5 and up, then you're going to need 200 to 300,000 minimum, and then go on from there. And there's other ways to get around that. If you don't have as much down payment, you can get a first and a second loan from the lender. There's multiple tools we have to help people get into home ownership who just can't save or hold on to, say, $500,000 in cash. You have to make enough money to support the monthly payments, the mortgage, the property taxes, the insurance, everything. However, for a place like this, where a lot of people that move here are in higher paying jobs than what you would call the average, that might be perfectly fine. And then after a few years of holding it, because of the historically high appreciation we have here compared to everywhere else, you're sitting on a lot of money that you didn't put there. You're sitting on several hundred more thousand that you can leverage to either lower your monthly payment, buy another property, pay off a student loan, and then give you more financial freedom and opportunity.
The duration of the mortgage is for 30 years, 40 years normally, or how
30
long?
years,
30
normally.
years.
You can do a 15, or you can do a standard 30 year, which most people do. And then there are some options to get an adjustable rate for the first 5 years or 7 years, but the length of the total loan is still 30. So it just adjusts to market rate. over that adjustable rate time, and then you get whatever market rate is at that time. Or more likely, within the next few years, rates come down a little bit, and then they just refinance into a standard 30-year that never changes. But it's usually everybody picks the 30-year unless you're going with something outside of the norm, like an interest-only loan or something you're doing to lower your payments and capitalize on other benefits of the home.
You just mentioned 3.5% on or the possibility to only pay down 3.5%. Did I get that correctly?
Yes. So there's some conventional loans at 3% up to basically a loan of $1,089,300. So, and then there's FHA loans, which the total is a little bit less than that, but it's 3.5% down and you get a lower rate because that, and it's only for primary occupants, people who are going to live there. And then there's 5% down conventional loans, which basically gives you, once you have 5%, you have the ability to be helped with closing costs, and you can pretty much get any range of any type of loan as long as it's under that limit of where the loan does not exceed $1,089,000.
Got it.
So,
So,
and then rules change for jumbo loans. If you go more expensive than that, then you need the at least 10% down plus closing costs, and then you work with a lender that specializes in that type of loan.
yeah, okay, makes sense. So, can you help me out? So, basically, let's
Sure.
say 4 million is the property price. Being applicable as a first homeowner, because I'm not experienced, and for someone who might be listening, what for monthly payments would I more or less have to expect, so that I really know whether I'm sort of eligible? I mean, the bank will do the job anyway and pre-qualify me, I guess, but still,
Yes.
just as an idea, what are the expenses which I would have to expect, which I have to pay, which I have to have on a monthly basis? Because you mentioned not only like the mortgage, you didn't not only the interest rate, but also even maybe admin costs plus insurance.
Okay, so if you did say a $4 million property, and then the standard person would try to do 20% down just to have the payment with the least amount of mortgage insurance and
Yeah.
everything else involved with it at the current 7% interest rates with the property taxes that are local to here, you're looking at about 25,000 per month, 21,000 for the mortgage and insurance, and then about 3,800 in home insurance, property taxes, everything else you would need to pay for your home. And
Got
that's
it.
at the 7% interest. So as you know, every percent interest changes, your payment drops about 10%. So in the next couple of years, you'd most likely get back down to a five or something in the fives, and you'd subtract a whole 5,000 per month from that total. But conservatively now, with these higher rates, you're going to have to focus and say, like, okay, over the next 2 to 3 years, we're probably at that 25,000 mark. And then we can do things to lower that and leverage that in the future.
Makes sense. Now, me, maybe it's me being European. This sounds very, very scary, to have the expectation to have to pay for the next 30 years around 25,000 on a monthly basis. May I just ask you, is that something which maybe I don't know, a couple or a family has can afford in Los Angeles, or are we already talking someone very on a like on the top of their career, and is that a certain segment of the society which is a particular one?
So that's a great question. We're back in the market of our, fathers and grandfathers, where in our country during the 80s, you had to buy it with interest rates in the teens. And they've been refinancing ever since to get it down to somewhere between a 2% and a 4% over the last few years. We're back in that market where you have to buy a starter home, a home in the neighborhood that you might not want. And then over the next few years, refinance it down and make sure if you can cover its costs, and then use the equity that it makes you to buy a home in the neighborhood that you want. And then maybe that's a fixer, but it's the neighborhood you want. And now over the next few years, you fix that up. And then you have to leverage that into another property. It's not a place where you can just come in and then say, like, I can qualify for a million. Let me get the home of my dreams, because that's just not the area. But it's also why our area is so much better to invest in, because you get it out on the back end. So people would want to start with a $1 million property and try to put 100,000 down. And then that payment would be closer to 7,500. And then they'd say, okay, over the next few years, I'm going to fix it up so that its rental and its market value are higher. I'm going to refinance it as soon as rates come down to lower its cost. And then I'm going to let rents catch up until I can either rent this out and just use its equity every 5 years or 7 years to put a down payment on another property, as long as I keep the rents lower than what I will owe on that monthly. And then I can keep leveraging that tool or selling and then rolling it into a bigger house so that you can always keep your payment as low as possible. But you have to plan for that and say, maybe try to buy your first home in your 20s or early 30s, and then get your next home in your late 30s, early 40s, and then get your forever home in your late 40s until you sell that and eventually buy your retirement home cash. Because people are going to live, maybe until their hundreds. The average life expectancy increases every year. You have to plan that you have a home and that it's mostly paid off or paid off so that you can fall back on it in case something happens, in case you can't work anymore, in case you can't afford ideally what you thought you can afford. So people have to start with that $1 million home to then have the $4 million home in 20 years, or to have four $1 million homes in 20 years. And then whenever they stop paying, they're like, I don't want any more homes. They just pay them all off. And suddenly now they have 3 to 5,000 from each in rent every month, passive. So now you're making a high income earner's wealth, career salary, passive, not doing anything. You're just paying taxes on the income. And if you start early enough, that's easy. If you start when you're 50 to start thinking about home ownership, it's just impossible. It's like your only resource is time. And if you don't have a job that's just giving you extra funds every year, just copious extra funds, you have to replace that with time and planning.
Makes total sense. Thank you so much for walking me through. That's really, really helpful. I really appreciate that. Now, what is basically, I mean, I guess like everything you just mentioned was or is something what you also do with the clients. How do you basically approach someone who is considering to buy a home?
So I take a look at their budget. I say, what are you guys making now? What do you guys reasonably expect to be making within the next few years? Because if you're making the most money you ever expect to make now, we're not going to put you in a home that overextends you financially. We're going to put you in a home that, worst case scenario, if you couldn't afford it anymore, you could move out, rent somebody in your home, find a cheaper rental, and make it work until you get past the first few years, which is when it really starts to become a money-making tool. So we cover you, or I cover you from all sides to be like, hey, the smartest decision would be to live in this neighborhood for a couple years, and then rent it out to somebody and allow that home to build you equity. Even if you want to live in a different city, even if you feel like you connect better with a different city that might be more expensive, but you can't afford to buy there. And then we leverage it and we create a plan. Okay, realistically, if you expect to make more money within 3 years, we can get you here, or 5 years, we can get you here. Or if you don't expect to make more money within 10 years, we can get you to this next step. And a lot of my job is just following up and holding them accountable. Be like, hey guys, we can do it. But if I follow up with you in a year, 6 months, whatever our next check-in point is, and you haven't done the work or the steps to prepare, well, then you've put the deadline. You've just delayed what you want by exactly that much time. So I create a plan for them based on their specific needs and goals. And then I held them accountable. And then they get to decide whether they actually want to achieve that home ownership or that level of financial stability in real estate.
So you mean that also taking that decision and taking that this leap is very important, and not only say, okay, whatever, let's do it maybe in 2 years or 3 years, but really like also leveling up, correct?
Yes, like we sh if you want it in 3 years, I should at least be talking to you 3 times a year to make sure you're saving the amount you said you'd save every month, to make sure your career is going the way you thought it would, to connect you to a down payment assistance program. If you just your kids between everything, you're not going to be able to save the down payment you need, and it could take over a year to qualify for that program because you're waiting in line with everybody else who needs that program. So if you have a real estate professional guiding you and keeping you on the plan, you're more likely to get there. If you go on the mindset of, well, I'm just going to worry about this later, I don't have time for it, or I'm just going to do this later, I can't handle it right now, a lot of times you end up in a market 5 years later where you still have about the same amount of savings and every other property is 30% more expensive than it was when you first started planning. And now you can't afford to buy. Now you don't have any options.
You mentioned programs. Are there more incentives sometimes, or subsidies, or anything state-based or go
Absolutely.
government-based?
So Los Angeles and California, Los Angeles has low and moderate income based down payment assistance programs will give you up to like $120,000 if you qualify to live in Los Angeles County. And then Orange County has some separate ones. And then the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America has one that works in multiple states, California being one of them. And it helps the most, but it also takes the longest to qualify for because so many people need that help. And you also have to be paying all your credit cards on time. You have to build a good credit history so that they know they can trust you with this investment of a home that you're going to live in by the time that they help you. So there's multiple tools for everybody. The compromises are that some of them run out of funds very quickly because they're so necessary. And the ones that don't run out of funds require you to wait for long periods of time, which is why the planning is even more necessary. You need to make a 2 year plan with your professional to get you there and not just come out this year and say, oh man, I need to buy something now. We're about to have a baby, or something like that, where now I've only got 3 months to help you. There's a lot less options I can give you.
It actually sounds that you are not only a one transactional real estate agent, but you have been really able to build long-lasting relationships, and not only because you're a nice guy and you like to meet for a coffee, but also because it's a very strategic approach which you have been taking, or which you take along each individual purchaser or client. Did I understand that correctly, or is that the case?
That is very much the case. I always have clients that can buy or sell in the upper ranges, the luxury clients, the coastal clients, and I do a great job for them. But I also, when I'm not working with specific clients, I like to focus on building those long-term relationships that you're talking about. Maybe working with the people who it might not be so easy to buy their first home. And build those long-term, 30-year plans with them. Because one end, I'm helping the average person increase their financial and real estate education, which will benefit their families. And on the other end, of course, I'm a professional. So if I work and I do a great job with you and I follow up with you and you can come to me for anything, either renting, buying, home services, repairs, recommendations for real estate attorneys, escrow companies. If I know everything that you need and you keep coming to me for it, then why wouldn't you work with me in the future? So, of course, I am a professional. I want you to work with me. If you come to my areas, I would love to create a unique long-term plan for you. However, I also, if in the absence of clients to work with in a certain hour or day of the week, I opt to volunteering my time spreading the message on podcasts and social media and my website and my blog, just trying to give people the standardized general education on real estate and what it can do for them that I didn't learn until I have started being interested in it about 10 years ago, that no school ever prepared me for. And I think that's why you're seeing more and more of a separation every decade of high net worth people who own property and assets and investments, and low net worth people who are stuck in a renting, working two job cycle to barely make their bills. I don't believe the middle class is surviving that well because they don't learn that when you don't have money, time is your most important resource, and you need to get into one of these assets that can provide for you later in life earlier. You need to sacrifice a little bit of time and effort now to get something that will protect you, or at the very least, become a home you can live in, worst case scenario, later in life, because that's just something that people need. And in the absence of that, even this week, I received two calls from people who are freshly homeless. Like they lost their rental because rental prices increased too much and they couldn't afford it anymore. And at that point, if you're older, if you're disabled, if you're unemployed, if you have multiple kids, it's become so much harder to help you. So I want to work with everybody, but I also want to educate people. If they don't live or want to work or want to buy in California, use these things that I'm telling you and look in your city, your state, your county, your country. Look for a representative who's going to help you in the same way so that you can tell who's actually out there for because they like their job and they want to benefit society, and who's just out there for a quick check, who wants to just sell something you have and move on to the next guy tomorrow.
Bottom line sounds like you say sacrifice when you're young and fresh and agile and attractive in the job market for the time when we are not as attractive and agile and maybe also not that powerful anymore. So
Absolutely.
maybe,
Sacrifice
sorry.
2 to 5 years right now to protect your last 50.
I love that. Tell us a little bit more about your service offerings. It is
So I
basically,
primarily,
go ahead,
oh,
please, sir.
sorry.
Go
So
ahead.
I primarily specialize in residential properties, which is leasing, buying, selling homes or multi-unit homes, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10-unit properties where people live. I also help educate people on how to prepare for home ownership and how to prepare to list and sell their home, which I then take care of for them. So I tend to stay away from the more warehouse office space commercial, and I just help people really dial in and achieve their goals through their home, through their primary residential or secondary homes, their investment property that they're renting out to tenants. And I help them create a plan with that because the demand is and always has been so high for homes, considering we just don't make enough of them and we just don't build enough of them each year, that it protects your investment's value. And it contributes to the over the last 39 years, Los Angeles has had a 6.77% appreciation per year over that entire 39-year period. So even though we've had multiple recessions and even one real estate related recession in there, because you're buying in a place with such high demand and such low supply historically, you are protected as opposed to somewhere which just doesn't have the industry, the weather, the draw that our areas have, that my areas have.
Makes total sense. I know your time is very limited, and I would like to give you the floor to maybe share something to the audience, some final words which we haven't shared and which you would like to have the international audience to be aware of, or something which you would like to give away.
Great. So I'd just like to share, I think, the things that prevent the most people from achieving a home and starting this wheel that will help them be financially stable later in life. I tend to meet people that don't believe that it's possible or just haven't met a professional who's willing to sit down and talk to them and say, like, we only need 3.5%. We only need 5% to get you something. We own, based on how much you can save, it's going to take this long. And somebody who's willing to work with them for that long period of time. So I would implore people to know that it is possible to buy these homes. It is possible to get out of that paycheck to paycheck renting lifestyle and get into a home that will provide for you. What you have to sacrifice is time. So if you're willing to do the work and take an hour a week, an hour a month, which isn't asking a lot, to educate yourself and form a relationship with a professional that can help you, you're going to live those years anyway. So if you don't start now, your only alternative is to start later. And start it in time, as anyone well knows, in investing is the most important resource. So just start now and believe that you can, and connect to a truly qualified person in your area that can help you achieve these goals.
Amazing, I love it. I really appreciated the entire session with you. You gave us a very interesting overview of Los Angeles. I've never been. I always want to go. You gave us a very many reasons to also give it a try to even move there. You gave us a very interesting overview also of the entire neighborhoods and guided me very well through from north to south, east to west. Also, according to the property prices, you also explained me in a very patient way, which I really appreciate, the entire financials and economics of investment and the entire vehicles and all those basically schemes or policies, subsidies, which are potentially applicable, which many people are not even aware of, which they should have. And you also described so well the importance of working with someone who really takes the time to sit down and talk to the individual and say, "Hey, let's make a plan, and I will call you in 1 or 2 years again. I want you to have this amount of saving because I want to bump you up." And also the entire economics of how basically you are upgrading your real estate assets over time. I love your final thoughts as well and your final words. And yeah, I really appreciate the entire conversation with you. David, it's been a pleasure. I'm sending the best regards to Los Angeles.
Thank you.
And yeah, I hope we're going to talk soon, anyways. And we stay in touch.
Absolutely. I'm always happy to come back. I want people to have this information and to sit down and eat it in bites that they can absorb, that are comfortable to chew and swallow.
Perfect. Sounds amazing. Yeah, definitely. Let's have another session soon. And I sent you good warm regards to Los Angeles, and have a good afternoon.
You too, sir.
Bye bye.